Welcome to episode 32 of Stories from the VO Booth. I'm your host, voiceover talent and trainer, Tina Zaremba. Today I'm talking with my favorite producer, my sister, Nicole Zaremba. Nicole's a producer for PBS's WKAR, where she creates and works on original shows. Nicole brings over 15 years of experience and is a three-time Emmy nominee. Listen in as Nicole shares how the art of the hustle, as well as knowing she had a place at the producer table, helped propel her to being a successful TV producer. Here's our chat. All right, Nicole Zaremba, thank you for joining me.
Sure, no problem.
Let's start off with your producer for PBS, and I want to go back to how did you find that as a calling? Because they don't, like voiceovers, they don't talk about it at career day.
So after I graduated college, my sister was kind enough to allow me to crash at her place in New York and hooked me up with an internship at an audio house. I thought I was going to be an audio producer.
Oh, really? That's what you thought you were going to do? Because I remember you were really clear when you moved to New York. You thought audio production.
Yeah, I wanted to be a music producer.
Oh, so the internship at Full House is what led you to being a producer.
Yeah, so the internship at the audio house that you referenced, Full House, they had some TV hosts come in, and they needed a PA or a production assistant on a set one day, and I was interning and making no money. So I said, yeah, of course, I'll come in on the weekend, and I'll work with you guys on this home and garden TV show. And like the energy, the atmosphere, everything about being on set, like, being tasked, even if it was menial tasks, to get things done within this crunch time. It was actually Surprise by Design with Robert Vitti and
Rebecca Cole.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, because I remember, that's funny, I forgot that you totally had that interest in music because I remember you being really clear. At some point, you got really clear when you were living with us that you were going to be a producer, because I remember saying to you, what are you going to do? And you're like, oh, I'm going to be a producer. I'm like, okay, so what are you going to do? Meaning wait tables. And you're like, no, I'm going to be a producer. And then do you remember, this was before technology is what it is today, what you did to network?
Wait, are you talking about my hustle? And maybe it's being from Michigan, like this work ethic of like, I have to make the most of this. Because it's not going to last.
Okay, so now tell people what you did, because I think that's what's interesting.
Gosh.
Most people would not do this.
So I did everything I could. I would network. I would interview with people that were producers at MTV and Viacom, anybody that like had the opportunity to discuss TV production.
What exactly did you do to network that was maybe like the typical person would not do, someone who's afraid to get out of their comfort zone, who's afraid to hustle? I really admire you for this, actually.
Well, no, I just knew I belonged, and I acted like I belonged. So I went with my resume, and I did stand outside Viacom, and there was a position for, like, a production assistant that I applied for online, and I knew that 10,000 other people were going to be applying for that. And so I personally said to people that went into the building, like, oh, do you work here? Oh, and if they said yes, oh, that's great. I just applied for this position. I'm looking for HR. Do you know where I could drop off my resume? And they'd be like, okay, let me just take it and I'll pass along for you. So that's how I really started to network. And I didn't feel beneath anybody. I felt like I deserved to be doing this as well.
That is so cool. That you felt like you had a place at the table. Because I think first, you know, I talk to my students about, so often I think we've, in life in general, feel like we have to do something and then be it and then we'll have it. And when really it's, I've been told from my coach that it's the reverse, that we have to be it first, then do it, and then we'll have it. But we have to actually feel it within our bones that we have an experience that's not even like we can't see it in the real world. And that's kind of what you're saying you did.
Right. Yeah, and I mean, like, I do that with all my projects. Like, I love what I do. I work at a great station. I mean, PBS is really reputable, and it's within Michigan at WKAR, my home state. Your last contact, or especially in television, your last gig is your next assignment. So you always have to put 110% in. So that's how I viewed it. And I wanted to get out of, you know, I wanted to be out on my own. So I gave 110%. And I said, hey, if there's something that arises, let me know. And they called me like a week later and said, we have a job in Denver. We would you be willing to come out for it? The pay is not great. And I said, yes.
Very cool. So did you go out as a PA in Denver?
Yeah.
And from Denver, then you were able to work your way up.
Yep.
And in Denver, you worked for a production company called High Noon Productions. And folks may not know High Noon Productions, but you will know, what shows have they done that people might know?
Any Food Network challenge where some crazy chef is carrying like a cake to the table or making some sort of weird food art, or there's a competition we really started, or High Noon really started the whole Food Network competition type shows.
And then from there, you did other reality shows such as Extreme Couponing, Extreme Vacations, was that one?
Well, Extreme anything on Travel Channel. Extreme Water Parks, Extreme Adrenaline, Extreme Fun, Extreme Roadside Attractions, like
that's awesome.
Anything extreme.
And you were able to travel with those gigs, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
I saw some amazing places. Yeah. So how do you work with voiceover talent, if you even work with voiceover talent?
I don't a lot, but I will tell you that we have booked voiceover talent because primarily I was a field producer, but I still work with story producers and I have worked with VO talent. And I mean, really, we go through an agent. Mm-hmm. We go through an agent. It's best to have one. And then it's ultimately on the hands of that artist to have that confidence and act like you belong. You know, I mean, even producers doubt themselves sometimes. If a voiceover actor is, you know, they read a line and the producer says, all right, read it this way, and they get a little fumbled, then as a producer, you think to yourself, oh, they're not that confident. But if they step up and they're like, all right, I'll read it another way. And it, not like you want to be doing this, but if you say like, oh, I like that take better, then even as a producer, you're thinking in your head like, oh, that's a good take too, just by being that subtle about it.
So I don't want you to share the name of the show or the name of the talent, but I do know you've worked at times with talent, and I'll never forget a story that you shared with me years ago where you may have even been a PA, and the voiceover talent, do you know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
So will you share that story? Because I think it's relevant in that people, talent, really need to know that how they are at a session, how they're holding themselves, it matters.
I think like this is something to take away for all voiceover artists, that like your confidence will be in your read, and not only how you take the read, but the direction after is more important than even the read. If you ask 1,000 questions on like, well, do you want it high or do you want it low or do you want it like this? Or if the producer says like repeats it back to you in a certain inflection and you feel nervous about that, then they're going to pick up on that. It's all about your confidence, your delivery, where you belong, you know?
So what happened? Share real quick what happened in this session that you were in years ago, because it stuck with me as a talent.
Well, this gentleman, you know, he just kept on flubbing his line, and he would get so mad at himself that he'd start swearing to himself and yelling at himself. And yeah, I mean, he is very well respected. I know that you've heard lots of his commercials, and I still think he is. At the same time, I will give a caveat to that. At the same time, even though he belittled himself
in front of people,
in the VO booth, he took his craft so seriously that, I mean, I felt bad for him, but I also kind of respected him, because it wasn't just like he knew in himself, that wasn't good, I need to do it again. I didn't have to say it. He did. And again, it's that confidence.
Right.
You know, that confidence to admit when you've messed up and be okay with that and let the producer know, because the producer will know anyway. So in a nutshell, it's more important to have the confidence in yourself as a talent and not rely on the producer to give you that feedback, whether you're good or bad, because you should know it in yourself that you're good. And that's why when I was at MTV and I was passing out my resume, I knew that I was good. I knew that I could still learn. It wasn't like I was egotistical about it. I knew I could still learn, but I knew I could invest 110% of myself.
You know, the industry's changed so much. It used to be that you would go directly through agents. And I know that you mentioned that a lot of the work that you've done has been through agent selection. That said, I've also found that now with technology, producers are working directly with talent. So what advice do you have to talent if they're going to reach out to a producer such as yourself and, you know, want to share their demo, share their work, and establish a relationship?
I would say have the work ready. And don't even ask. You just send it. Hey, I've done this new spot. Check it out. I'd love to work with you. And maybe 2 or 3 bullet points on what they've done as a producer.
So, like, do some research on the person that you're...
Yeah, I mean, not massive. You don't have to write it like a thesis on them, but just like, oh, the last three shows I worked on were XYZ. Here's my demo. This is in line with XYZ. Check it out. Love to work with you in the future. No, you don't want to sound needy because people like step back from that. So it's just like, hey, I heard this. It's cool. This is what I do.
That's awesome. All right. So you heard it. You don't want to sound needy, but know who it is you're talking to and know a little bit about them. Thank you, Nicole, for taking the time to chat with me.
You're welcome.
Thanks for listening in. Stay tuned next week for episode 33, where I'm talking with Suzanne Barbette. Suzanne's a voiceover actor here in New York who specializes in audiobooks. You're in for a treat. And a reminder, if you haven't taken my free 5-day VO challenge, go to tinazvotraining.com/challenge. Until next time, here's to owning our voices.